Hello and welcome to the very first edition of the Wealth Formula. I'm Mahalakshmi. In this podcast, I bring to you conversations with investment experts on the unique style of investing that gives them the edge to do better than the market. Today, my guest is a fund manager who's maintained a rather low profile thus far, very reclusive, has earned the reputation of being a bit of a maverick. He's the chief investment officer of India's largest mutual fund house, SBI Mutual Fund, and he personally oversees assets of about 1,50,000 crores. His small cap fund has delivered a return of 25% annualized over the past 10 years and about 20% since inception in 2009. Thank you so much, Srinivasan, for joining me on the Wealth Formula.
My pleasure. That was some introduction.
Srinivasan, I have obviously invited you because you're the chief investment officer of SBI Mutual Fund. But for a moment, just keep your hat as the CIO of SBI Mutual Fund aside and tell me, what do you think has worked for you in investing? If you were to just look at yourself, your track record as an investor, irrespective of the fund you managed, whatever mandate you had, tell us, what is your wealth formula?
I'll tell you what we do as a house, because we manage a number of funds. So it's very tough to articulate an investment philosophy that runs across. But we've tried to do that so that the entire team is kind of on a similar wavelength. So we basically run or straddle two philosophies. We call it the core and satellite. It's as cliched as it gets. So you're going to get bored. The core philosophy essentially effectively tries to do buy a good business run by good guys at reasonable valuations. The satellite philosophy essentially looks at incremental change. We're looking for positive change, fundamental change, upgrades, technical momentum, and relative valuations, right? So we also run a quant model. So the difference between these two philosophies, the satellite philosophy is supposed to outperform the benchmark on a consistent basis. So you can look at it as a relative return philosophy, whereas the core philosophy is more like an absolute return philosophy where we're targeting some returns over a longish period. So I think the time perspective essentially differentiates these two philosophies. Yeah, I think that kind of summarizes what we try to do.
Fund, you have a core portfolio and a satellite portfolio. Is that what you're saying?
You can say that, but then there is a contra fund, for example. So this philosophy or the factors that we look at in these philosophy kind of straddle all philosophies in some way or the other. So different portfolio managers will use these factors or these variables in different intensities to run their particular fund. So I'll tell you what the core philosophy is. So you want to look at certain factors that always work, right? But they don't work on an independent basis. So you can't buy a good business and go right on the stock. You can't just buy a good management because valuations also play a role. So it's actually a lot more complicated. It sounds cliched. It sounds boring because nobody really wants to buy a crappy business. Nobody wants to bet on the fraudulent managements. So isn't everybody trying to do the same thing? But the point here really is that by not trying to do a lot of the other stuff, not that I haven't played momentum, right? Yeah. But by kind of being very clear on what you're trying to do, you just make that whole process a little better.
What I'd like you to do is really give us some examples of what you think is a good business. You know, live examples to demonstrate what has been a good business that you've picked, and some examples of what you thought was a good business, but you were surprised to see they didn't turn out to be good businesses. See, because that's where the mistakes really happen. You think it's a good business, but over a period of time, either it gets disrupted or something happens and it turns out to be bad.
So that is obviously you go wrong all the time because you're trying to predict the future and things also change. So you really don't have a grip on what's going to happen all the time. It's very easy to explain what a good business is, right? That's the easier job. Of course, there are nuances, but a good business is where you want a right to win characteristic. Call it economic moat, for example. So we kind of identified some sources of economic moats, which is out there, right? If you go and search for it, you got to identify whether the company that you're looking at fits into one of these or many of these, right? Now, the fact is that less than 5% or 3% of companies actually have a competitive advantage to talk about. Now, that's an interesting thesis to start with. So you at least kind of accept that this business, we discussed HDFC Bank, for example. Right. And it was very tough to figure out in the initial phases, at least in retrospect, whether there was an economic moat. So it was really the management. And we don't classify managements as competitive advantage because managements are kind of fungible. They can move from one place to the other.
Right.
So this is a discussion you try to have, right? Then you want to figure out whether...
For example, today, would you think that HDFC has an economic moat?
Now it does, after being successful. But when you had picked the stock 25 years back, they had hardly any brand franchise. They had no branch network. They didn't even have products.
Hmm.
They started with cash management. They just did a phenomenal job out of whatever they did, right? So I wouldn't say they had a right to win. They've created a right to win for themselves, right? I would give you an example of an economic moat. So Hatson, right? I'm kind of in love with this company. Now, when you go deeper into how they work, it's a very, very different business model in a sector that is tough to make money because you got to kind of buy milk and sell milk. Yeah. So they have their own collection centers, as in they own the collection centers. So they have control over the supply of milk. They own the distribution,
right?
They focus on milk as a product. So once you start selling milk and make money there, then it's easy to do something else. So that's kind of one example of business which has very strong, I think, competitive advantages.
Right.
Though I don't know whether I can speak stocks, but I'm explaining what I already have, so I guess it's fine. Yeah, so this is one checklist. We have like a 29-point checklist just to kind of tick off. It may be relevant for some businesses, may not be, but whether it has a competitive advantage, whether they are investing in it, whether it's wide, whether the moat is wide, whether it's narrow, whether it generates cash flows, whether return on capital invested is reasonable enough, higher than cost of equity. Even if return on capital employed is not reasonable enough, even if they're losing money, are unit economics attractive so that maybe the company is investing?
Right.
And unit economics are attractive so that at a scale you think this business will make money. So the combination, is it growing? What is the addressable market? What is the longevity of that growth? So a combination of return on capital employed, right? That really makes money. Capital intensity. So a lot of these factors define what a good business model is, right?
Right.
Then managements can be cross-referenced in terms of their track records. You meet them. You try to figure out whether they are focused. So there are businesses, in fact, a lot of businesses a few years back, they just wanted size.
Yeah.
Now, you might not necessarily want a business that is number one. You want a business that is also number one in terms of profitability. HDFC Bank, for example, the reason why they were successful is they were very hung up on profitability.
Correct.
At the same time, they were also growing. They were targeting a market which was kind of available for grabs, right?
Okay.
And then valuations is well beyond just price to earnings and price to book multiples. You have a thesis. I think Damodaran puts it very well in his book.
Yeah.
You have a narrative, you have a thesis. You try and put that thesis into a cash flow model, and which is very different for different businesses. You'll have a 3-year second stage for someone. We have a 20-year second stage for certain businesses, like, for example, DMart or a PNG Hygiene. That is what defines whether... So a 55 PE stock may be actually cheaper than a 10 PE stock. Right, depending on how your thesis fits into that. No, these are nuanced. They are kind of easy to define. This is not where the real problem is.
Mm.
The real problem that I was talking to you about is combining these factors to decide whether because stocks are second level derivatives. What you expect is almost always in the price. Not always, almost always.
Mm.
So you got to respect the collective wisdom of the market. And you still have to believe that you have an opportunity, that there is some gap between what can potentially happen that you can exploit, right? Which is why a good business and a good management will always trade expensive, except when there is like a huge crash in the market and everything is available on sale, right? Now, how you combine these two factors, where do you apply your cutoff? That is where the complexity, that is where the art of investing kind of comes in. So, The simple point that I'm making is these three variables are directly proportional to making money. A good business will always make you money. A good management will always make you money. An attractive valuation will always make you money. But they don't operate independently.
Right.
They operate together. Because a good business can be expensive, it may not make you money.
Hmm.
So I think it's... Wo bolte hai na, ki, I think what constitutes life, you can get it for a few bucks. I think it's water, chalk, carbon, coal, oxygen, I guess. 95 or 99% of that comes together to form life. But you haven't figured out to create life, right?
Right.
So that's where I think investing gets a little...
Do you figured out a part of it?
Not really, yeah. I mean, people like us are so insecure because you go wrong all the time. So we don't think
I think that's part of the equation, right?
So fit, then how do you...
Equation.
No, then how do you...
You have done, you know, 20% over 10 years or 25% over...
No, that is no guarantee. Yeah. There are people who've done... I think there was this Fidelity guy, Anthony Bolton, I think. I'm not very sure. But I think he did well for like 17 years. And I think there's only Warren Buffett who done well for 60 years. And you today questioning about the time he was...
25% compounding is, less than 20 people over 25 years. 25% over 25 years.
Yeah, India mein wo beta ka bhi benefit hai. So the returns that we generate is largely because of beta. Of course, we've already also generated excess returns. But I'm just saying it's...
Fair enough. There is no... That is not easy to figure out. Fair enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
So expand. So this art of investing. How do you get this combination of good business management and price?
If a combination mil jayega.
You said that mass sale, but this mass sale doesn't happen. You know, COVID was one opportunity which perhaps we would have understood in hindsight. Some of them may have.
But then you should have cash also when the mass sale happens.
Correct.
Typically, you're invested and your investment is also down.
Correct.
So this is a discussion we've been having. We do this discussion like every week for an hour. How to bring these factors together? I'm only talking of the core philosophy. So one way to think about investing is try and make the whole complicated process a little simple. So what I tell you, for example, is like a simple way to think about investing. Good business. It's not that investing is not complicated. Actually, there is this, and I love this analogy. Feynman talks about it in his book where, you know, you just land up and you see the gods playing chess and you have no idea what is chess, what they're playing, right? But you like watch it long enough and then you get some sense on what the rules of the game are. You'll never understand the rules of the game completely. So you know that the bishop always is moving diagonally, always on the black square. And then you'll realize, no, it can also move to the white square. Investing is a bit of that, right? So you got to figure out these rules.
So you do not know the rules of the game up front, but you observe and learn.
And you will never know because there are too many variables to kind of... So what you do, for example, first rule is time. The longer time you give, the better your chances are to find the rules that work largely, right? And then I talked about these factors. But one way, there are some first principles that you should have in the back of your mind when you kind of think about investing, right? The first thing is you try to make things as simple as possible. You accept that they're complicated,
right?
But you make it simple. So, for example, in my experience, like I told you, right, return on capital employed and growth, if you see them both together, kind of go easy on valuations because it's an amazing combination. Because when, what is valuation? A P multiple is effectively growth, cost of equity and return on capital.
Right.
Or if you kind of reduce that, it's growth and the spread over cost of equity.
Right.
Right. So you get a combination of both and you're really super confident. Then that's something to bet on. Now, that's a very simple model in your mind in a complicated structure where you're thinking about economic moats and the management record and stuff like that, right? The second thing is it's all probability, as in everything, you don't know the future. That's why it is complicated. And you can't know the future. So you have to think about it as a range of probabilistic outcomes.
Right.
The moment you start doing that, then based on how much you know, you can size up your positions, which is why investing will be different for different people, which is why it helps to kind of continue being an analyst throughout your life, learn as much as you can so that you enhance that element of, I don't want to call it skill, you enhance that element of your... See, earlier when I started my career, money was made from information arbitrage, right? It was as simple as that.
Correct.
It's become very tough thanks to regulators.
Correct.
Now you need analytical arbitrage, but the market is smarter than you. right? Which is why the more you learn, you try to figure out where are the gaps, you need to think about your own competitive advantage. But basically, probability is something you need to think about. And the third part, think about it holistically, which is what I was talking about, right? So 1 + 1 is greater than 2 in the sense that when these things combine together, they form a very, when these variables come together, they form a very different animal. Then there is exponentiality, for example. So you think about investing, the longer you think about it, and the longer you don't have these perspectives for a lot of businesses, but if there are businesses where you can think long and you can bet long in terms of your confidence on the revenue growth or volume growth because of lack of disruption or low risk of disruption and the company's inherent market share or whatever, then that gives you compounding. Otherwise, you kind of bet on 2-3 years, then you got to exit at the right time, then you got the valuation right.
Okay, so let's take all these points one by one. So first thing you talked about was this combination. When you see a combination of growth and high return on equity, then go easy on valuation. So what do you mean by that? Because, for example, if you went back in time and you looked at the history of several consumer companies and notably HUL, you could see at that point in time that this is, you know, a linear growth, secular business. Let's say, I think in 2000, the first decade of 2000, essentially from 2001 to 9, I guess HUL did not perform. But it's a high, you know, return on equity business. You would have paid a high price and the price would not have moved. So you could think of several examples where you have had these combinations, but they may not have paid off. So how do you say go easy on valuation, what do you mean?
No, that was a wrong statement. When I say go easy on valuations, if you are confident about the right to win of that business, then you expect some longevity, right? So going easy on valuations essentially means that you allow yourself a longer second stage. And the reason for a second stage is terminal is just one number. But that's kind of, it differs from business to business. So for somebody like a DMart, right, who has executed so well, probably one of the best business models in terms of what they've delivered so far, except the last few quarters, or what the management has done, it's, you have to give it a higher second stage, a P&G hygiene for that matter, where there is a huge confidence on volume growth, which hasn't played out though in the last 3 to 5 years. So you'll go wrong. I'm just saying, you give yourself a long rope when you do your DCF based on your thesis. So if you got wrong,
this concept of margin of safety at all?
100%. You should have a margin of safety, right? Because whatever you're expecting is unpredictable. You've gone wrong so many times, so you need a margin of safety. Absolutely no doubt about it.
I'm just trying to decipher, what do you mean when you say you can go easy on valuations?
No, forget that statement. I didn't make that statement. Let me explain that differently. So when you're looking at a cyclical business compared to when you're looking at a secular business, let's say Hindustan Lever, right? Compared to a Tata Steel. Tata Steel is inherently less predictable. The way you look at Tata Steel will be different from the way you look at Hindustan Lever. In fact, I doubt you can do, if you do a DCF, you'll just put in garbage, right? There you got to time the cycle.
Correct.
You can't give it a huge second stage and assume that there will be growth compounding. Whereas in the Hindustan Lever, you can safely assume that it will grow for a long time. Now, Hindustan Lever may not grow for a very long time because the product segments are saturated, but a consumer staple business where you have a...
In general.
Yeah. So, when you look at valuations, I was talking about valuations in the very general sense. So when I say you should go easy on valuations, that's a wrong statement. I'm saying that you will obviously have a higher PE multiple for a secular businesses, for a secular business which is more predictable. So, don't be too hung up on the number.
And how but do you determine you what is the right price?
So this is the best way. You have a thesis. So what we do is, you run your thesis through our, within our team. And there are guys who are just there to counter whatever you're saying. If the thesis does not sound too ridiculous.
Oh. Then give me an example of ridiculous.
I'll give you an example of what we thought was not ridiculous. Okay. Though So, for example, when we looked at DMart, and we actually exited DMart two times, right? We really didn't stay put. We pulled the second stage till, I think, 2052 or something. So, basically, the underlying assumption was they will get to like 7% of the retail market. And then the box size will increase from 40,000 square feet to 60,000 square feet. And they had some 250 or 300 stores. They will easily go up to 2,000 stores because there is enough out there in terms of the Indian geography.
Right.
And when kind of you present it that way, look at that with whatever they've done, you say, this does not sound too ridiculous. Now, if you do the same thing with a cyclical company, I don't know what example to give you because we don't extend the second stage for too many companies, then it will sound ridiculous to you where the predictability is extremely low. So, businesses which are not very predictable, if you expand, so you can't pay too much for them.
Right. But tell me, since you're talking about DMart, like now you acknowledge that DMart growth has been fairly uninspiring. And the market was definitely valuing it like this is a 20-30 year story. And now it's, you know, at least for the last four quarters, it's not really performed. It's been disappointing. How do you know or how do you have that confidence that Maruna, now... I'm going to hold this for 10 years and it'll play out. How do you have that confidence, especially when... there is disruption that could happen. We don't know how the landscape will work out.
So, I agree. There is no easy answer. So, it's very specific to every stock. So, we've exited DMart. We'll probably buy it again. So, while we like it, this slowdown, even though it is just a few quarters, we shouldn't be too worried about it. It might come back. We are a little worried about it. So, we'll happily get back in even at a higher price. Now, am I doing the right thing? I'm not very sure.
Sure.
Right. So, which is why you cannot form a thesis and then just buy and then sleep over it. You have to kind of track it. Now, if you track it too frequently, you might just churn too much. So, I think it's a fine... So, another mental first principle is that you got to balance everything. People talk about, for example, growth, value and all this. Everything is in a spectrum. And you are operating in a shade of gray. And you got to balance these things out. So, you talked about conviction. So, when does conviction lead to arrogance? Right? Now, that's a very... Courage, for example. Is courage a virtue? It is, right? But if courage leads to recklessness, it is stupidity. So, then would you say that you should be courageous or you shouldn't?
But all of that you get to know only in hindsight.
Exactly.
Was it courage or foolhardiness?
Exactly. But then would you recommend somebody to be courageous or you would recommend them not to be? Every aspect, every virtue has the other side of the spectrum. Abhi main buda ho gaya hun, thoda philosophy jaad raha hun. But the point is you got to figure that out. There is no easy answer. And it all depends on that specific
circumstance. So under these circumstances, how do you think? I mean, what gives you the conviction? Is it one of, you know, are there some basic questions that you ask? Or do you just, you know, work with your gut?
No, gut is kind of overrated. Obviously, you ask questions. So, I'll give you some examples of where we've gone right? And where we have, where we've gone right, but the thesis was wrong. Where we were confident, but the stock was like a disaster, right? So, HDFC Bank is a perfect case in point. Everybody's got HDFC Bank, right? I think HDFC Bank has contributed to a lot of our careers, most of our careers.
Correct.
Matlab 20 saal se wo stock 20 tak ka compounding deta hai. And even if you missed it, sometime later you would have caught it. So, HDFC Bank is a perfect case of looking for the right things, business model, management, valuations. Right?
But valuations, it was cheap. I mean, for a good part of last... You know,
no, I disagree. Wo to price to book mein log dekh rahe the because they were comparing price to book of HDFC Bank to price to book of somebody else. But for a business which is growing at 20%, I think you should have looked at PE. Four time book PE dekho. Because price to book, you have to compare with return on equity. Four divided by 0.2, that leads to the PE multiple. And what PE multiples are you paying? Obviously, you don't pay a PE multiple to a financial business because of the leverage. But HDFC Bank was always a different animal. Right? So that is one thing. Let's say most people have got it right. Right? What else? I think we've made a lot of money in stocks like Page, Jubilant in the initial phase, Relaxo.
I can give you some names. ATK Prestige, Hawkins.
Hawkins, for example, like we are perennial holders. Abhi tak beche hi nahi. So what gave us the confidence to kind of buy those and stick with them, right?
Yeah.
It was again, Page, for example, when we bought it, it was trading at, I think, 17 times. We were very confident about a 25% earnings growth for the next 3 years. And return on capital employed was like 35%. So it was almost like a no-brainer. So we thought it'll easily double in the next 3 years. In fact, we thought multiples would get derated. 17 would go down to 15. That was a very different era of interest rates.
Yeah.
The stock more than doubled. It went up like, I mean, multiple times, right? There's a smaller company, Rajaratan, for example. Mm. When we met them, we prodded a large seller. We bought the stock and we sat on it for like many years. It didn't go anywhere, but we still had the confidence to sit on it because it was a small company in a business where it had a very high market share, catering to the best of companies. Matlab 200 crore mein company liye the. So, usme bhi confidence iske liye aaya kyunki wo sector mein they had a very meaningful market share and they were catering to the best. They had a plant in Indonesia. Yahan pe Indore mein plant tha, and you kind of got a sense ki they could turn around, which happened. Right? Eventually, the stock
but
multiplied for later reasons.
Visible to you at the time you bought? Page
not that it would go 20x, but doubler to lag raha.
I'm not talking about 20x. In Page Industries, definitely the financials reflected the fact that they had very high return ratios. But in some of the other examples, whether visible in the balance sheet, do you buy only when these factors are already reflected in the balance sheet?
No, you want to buy them before they're reflected, but you still get some sense on whether they will eventually reflect based on the underlying, which is why you go McDonald's, for example, right? Unit economics were attractive. The company wasn't making money.
Correct.
So that gives you confidence, right? As they scale, they will start delivering. That wasn't such an easy call because there
I was about to ask because it was a big call for you at that time. The financials were not looking good.
Absolutely.
It was a reverse merged company, so one would generally be
skeptical. It wasn't such a tough call because usme kya, I think they had some 150, 200 outlets and they could easily do like, mereko to lag raha tha ki Bombay mein hi 500 kar sakte hain, 600 outlet. Andheri mein ye side, wo side, Thana mein ye side, wo side.
No, and growth is one thing, but how about profitability?
Unit economics were fine. They weren't bad. Obviously, you wanted per store sales to go up, bill cuts to be so much to start making money. And we were pretty confident ki wo to hui raha hai because we thought ki this is a product that is here to stay. So, I'm not saying these things are easy to figure out, but they're not so difficult. You don't have to see the number to kind of figure out the underlying. We just go a little deeper. You don't even need financial wizardry kind of to figure all this out. Tum sirf danda samjho aur tumko thoda bahut sense mil jayega. But then you also go wrong, right? So, ye to I'm talking about the good ones, right?
Right.
Again, the examples where we went wrong in the thesis, but we made a lot of money. I think graphite is a perfect example. So graphite is very interesting. So 2017, I think. So when was that huge small cap rally? 60%? 2018, right?
Yeah. It's
2018 calendar year. So 2017, end December, we were, the market had already, the small cap index had doubled. And our fund had done even better. We started the small cap fund in end 2013. So we're like 3 years and we had done extremely well. So humko laga ki small cap index to, jahan se, it won't do well. That was the base thesis. मतलब इतना कोई confidence नहीं था वो thesis में, but वो एक base thesis था. So we were looking for ideas where we won't lose money when the drawdown happens. So graphite is something that I had been familiar with. So we went and bought a lot of graphite. Why did we buy graphite? Because it was an oligopolistic sector globally. दो जन इंडिया में, एक यूरोप में, एक यूएस में, दो जन जापान में. So that gives you a lot of comfort globally in oligopolistic sector. Second, the sector was doing very badly. Everybody was losing money. Even graphite EBITDA kuch 50% aisa kuch down tha. But the balance sheet was fine. They had cash in the balance sheet and there were assets which they could potentially monetize, which they did after a lot of years. So balance sheet ko koi fight nahi tha. Thirdly, valuations they were trading at, I think, lower than replacement cost. So, humne graphite iske liye khareeda ki hum socha hai ki 3 saal mein double to ho jayega. In a market where we are trying to avoid drawdowns, we are looking for a doubler in 3-4 years. We are like very happy and we bought a big chunk of it. When large seller was selling and we were like scared because this is a global seller and we thought he knew more about the sector than we did.
Right.
So, when we bought it, it fell apart. But that stock, you won't believe. One is the market.
Right.
Went up, I think, some 58-60% that year. So, the small cap thesis went for a toss. This stock went up 10x.
Mm.
More than 10x.
Correct, correct.
So, we made some crazy money. And I couldn't have, in my wildest imagination, expected graphite electrode. Why me? I mean, management ko bhi hawa nahi hoga ki aisa hota tha. So that is an example. But I would say, while there was luck there, there was also some conviction based. So we bought it for something else, which was a fine thesis. And something else happened, which was an optionality that we hadn't built in. But that optionality made us a lot of money. Aishar is a similar case. Aishar mein toh mujhe laga ki, I still have this 83 wala model, right? Jismein awaaz aata hai. और आवाज के कारण लोग बुलेट लेते हैं और ये वाला इलेक्ट्रिक स्टार्ट आई थॉट इट विल बी अ लीन बर्न इंजन आई थॉट इट विल बी अ फेलियर बट वी बॉट आइशर बिकॉज़
इट वाज अ कैश बार्गेन
एग्जैक्टली एग्जैक्टली एंड वी एंडेड अप मेकिंग अ लॉट ऑफ मनी वी डिडंट एग्जिट ऑल्सो रियली इन बिटवीन बिकॉज एज द थीसिस चेंज्ड यू ऑल्सो यू काइंड ऑफ सी थिंग्स डेवलपिंग
एंड डिड यू बाय मोर आफ्टर दैट डिड यू
नो नो वी एक्चुअली नो वी एग्जिटेड द अर्ली Like early means, I think हमने जब मेरे को याद नहीं, I think we made 3, 4x, 5x. We exited in one fund, we kept it in the other fund where we made a lot more. Stock made a lot more money than we did. That is also a challenge to kind of sit on a stock that's making you so much money and let your profits run because you're like mark to market almost on a daily basis. And then there are stocks we've gone terribly wrong here. Tata Motors, for example, I think it fell like 70% or something. हमको लगा कि जागुआर वाला वो किक ऑफ करेगा बट इट वाज सो कॉम्प्लिकेटेड द क्रॉस करेंसी एंड चाइना एंड व्हाटएवर एल्स दैट्स अ लार्ज कैप स्टॉक
या
यू डोंट एक्सपेक्ट टू लूज 70% ऑन अ लार्ज कैप स्टॉक वी डिड एंड दिस मैकडोवल होल्डिंग
यू बाय एंड यू नो
अब मुझे याद नहीं
है व्हाट वाज योर थीसिस
व्हेन थीसिस वाज जागुआर एंड नथिंग वर्कड आउट मैकडोवल होल्डिंग्स फॉर एग्जांपल वी इवन फॉट विद द मैनेजमेंट देयर दो मैकडोवल होल्डिंग्स वाज अ होल्डको which was trading like at a 90% or some crazy discount. And the underlying holding was also a holdco, UB holding, which was trading at a 70% discount. Tamko loga 10 guna to theoretical upside dikhta hai. And we lost a lot of money there. Manappuram, we lost money because the whole thing.
So
Manappuram, we didn't lose money in the fund. We made actually money. Even Manpasand, for example, as a house, we've lost money. But in Focused, where I bought it, it's still one of the largest attributors. So this is what makes you insecure all the time. Ki yaar, tumko lag raha hai ki tum achha kar rahe ho aur sab you are such a desire. In fact, I'll give you this. So there is this colleague of mine who was working with me, and he asked me for 3 stocks that he could buy in his portfolio. Aur maine bola yaar, mera portfolio dekh. Wo stock mat pooch. But he kept insisting. और मैंने उसको 3 स्टॉक दिए आई थिंक उसमें मैकडोवेल था मणप्पुरम था और JHS ये 3 स्टॉक दिए तीनों स्टॉक बर्बाद मतलब टोटल माई फंड डिड वेल बिकॉज मेरे पास था नहीं इतना वो स्टॉक बट वो टाइम पे मुझे लग रहा था क्या रिटर्न इसी में आएगा बट यू नीड टू मैनेज रिस्क फ्रॉम अ पोर्टफोलियो
पर्सपेक्टिव
व्हिच इज व्हाई यू डोंट साइज अप ऑन द हायर रिस्क स्टॉक्स एंड Sizing is again a very different topic altogether.
Right. So I bring in a question because I've heard you often say that, you know, concentration is the best way to go about investing. So you just proved the point that concentration doesn't help. I mean, those were your
what
three
is
best.
What is concentration?
Concentration of holdings. You know,
what? No, no. How do you define concentration? So concentration.
No, you tell me. In one of your videos, you've said, you know, if left to me, if I were an individual investor, I would put at least 25-30% of my money in one stock.
So that's this is So honestly, this is a learning for me. So before I was in a mutual fund, I used to have like 70%, even 90% in one stock. I wouldn't do that.
No.
I wouldn't recommend anybody to do that. वो तो ठीक है, वो चल गया, समझो. But that was just lucky. But the concentration that I talk about now is to do with mutual funds. So let's say Focused, right? We have like 21 stocks in Focus. Now people think 21 is concentrated. That is where I disagree.
Oh.
Right. you need to diversify. So concentration really is people owning like 6 stocks, 7 stocks, of which the top holding is like 25-30%.
Right.
I wouldn't recommend that. Forget to a normal investor, even I wouldn't do it, right? I think 15-20 stocks, let's say, is a very well diversified portfolio.
Mm.
Right? And I do not subscribe to you owning 50, 70, 100, whatever stocks. My point being that you could own as many stocks.
Mm.
At some point in time when you are kind of confused or you don't have enough ideas, but eventually you want to kind of go deeper, own more of what you like. And there are, at any point in time, a handful of stocks that you really, really like.
Mm.
Right? So you want to own more of what you like, and which is why I think the 20 to 30 is like a, people call it concentrated. I would say it is diversified. So 55 is higher than 20, but it is, technically it is more diversified, but it kind of, and you can Google this here, the benefits of diversification kind of peter out very significantly after the 15th correct. Holding, and there is a chart that you get.
Correct.
There are research papers out there.
True. So you talked about probabilistic, looking at probabilities and then taking a call on the stock. So how do you sort of bring that probabilistic approach into, does it change your decision with respect to buying and selling a stock? Or does it determine the price that you're willing to pay? How does this probability analysis really, how do you use it?
See, it's tough to apply. It's tough to put a number. It depends on the situation. I'll give you an example. DVs, for example. We owned a lot of DVs. We had like, I think, 7% plus. The stock fell 50%.
Hmm.
They had an import alert.
Hmm.
Now, we had assumed an extremely low probability for DVs to kind of get an import alert like the other pharma companies, because there is the second level check of an innovator, because the innovator also gets effectively hammered if DVs, because they do these custom synthesis,
right,
smaller batches, which go into their drug, right? In the original, earlier phases, phase one, phase two, whatever. Now, eventually DVs did get an import alert.
Mm.
Now, our thesis, we doubled up on the stock, right? And our thesis was that these guys have delivered over a very long period in time.
Doubled up after it fell?
Yeah.
Okay.
And these guys have...
50%.
It came lower. Doubled up in the sense, maybe not exactly, maybe what, 50% more or something like that. We eventually made a lot of money. But there... So you talked about probabilities, right? So you had the track record of that management.
Correct.
Which was brilliant. Yes. One of the best track records out there. This happened for the first time. And we took a bet that worst case, even if they don't make any money, we didn't know that 99% would be exempt.
Hmm.
Eventually that happened, right? But even if they don't make money or lose money for 2 years, they will get this right.
Hmm.
They had very large market shares in their respective APIs. And we said, ki jaane do yaar, 3 saal ka gaya, 20 taka, waise bhi stock 50 taka hai. So we had that confidence. So did we put a number? We actually did put a number also in terms of different scenarios. But I wouldn't give too much importance to the number we put. But clearly, we were a lot more confident at that point when we should be shit scared to go and Bajaj Finance, when it fell during COVID. That's like one of the worst businesses to be in.
Yeah.
Unsecured. So unsecured personal finance, I would never buy. Mm-hmm. That is the worst thing to be in. Security bhi nahi hai. Ek tu lend kar rahe ho. Banda paisa leke bhag jayega.
Environment has
gone. But we had so much confidence in the management. Humko abhi bhi nahi samajhta exactly dhanda kaise karte hain. But not so bad. But generally speaking, I mean,
yeah,
if you kind of question me too much, then I'll have a problem. But we had that confidence because we kind of believed in their ability to bounce back. That played out well. I'm thinking of examples where we did this and we went wrong. There was this Jayaprakash Power Venture we had bought long back. Usme bhi, so this is a learning from how to apply probability, right? Mm. So yes, usme, for example, this was a business where there was a lot of leverage. Ideally, you don't want to buy leverage, but leverage is also very exciting because the enterprise value remaining same, leverage will get converted to equity if you have confidence about the cash flows.
Mm.
So Jayaprakash mein leverage tha, humko laga ye stock do guna ho jayega. आराम से दो गुना नहीं, एक्चुअली मेरे को लगता है कि हमारा टारगेट प्राइस 150% हायर और डाउनसाइड मेरे को लगा कि 50% होगा. So that time I used to apply this formula ki aisi probability matlab hawa mein lagata tha but theek hai jo bhi lagata tha 50% minus 50 into 0.5 minus 25 let's say 100 150 jo bhi tha let's say 150 into 0.5 75 minus 25 so expected return is still 50% डिजास्टर था वो तो निकल गए हम लोग डेढ़ महीने के बाद बिकॉज हमको कुछ तो उसमें थोड़ा इन्वेस्ट फर्स्ट इन्वेस्टिगेट लेटर वाला इशू हो गया था उसमें वी आर वेरी एक्साइटेड वी बॉट इट एंड देन वी एग्जिटेड द स्टॉक मतलब आई बॉट 5% ऑफ द फंड मैंने वो आई थिंक 25-30% के नीचे तो मतलब आई जस्ट एग्जिटेड आई लॉस्ट मनी इन लाइक 1.5 months वेरी टफ टू रिकवर दैट लॉस्ट मनी उसके बाद तो स्टॉक जीरो चला गया बट द लर्निंग फ्रॉम दैट इवन फ्रॉम अ प्रोबेबिलिटी मैट्रिक्स पर्सपेक्टिव इज दैट यार 50% प्रोबेबिलिटी पे तो करो ही नहीं काम 50% लाइक कॉइन फ्लिप यू डू नॉट बेट टू मच मनी ऑन अ कॉइन फ्लिप अभी हम लोग क्रिकेट पे बेट कर रहे हैं हर एक मैच पे बट 100-100 रुपए लगाए यार बड़ा पैसा नहीं लगाएंगे कौन जीतेगा श्रीलंका आज जीतेगा कि अफगानिस्तान जीतेगा सो 50% पे नहीं लगाओ सो द न्यू फॉर्मूला इज मिनिमम तुमको मन दिमाग में लगना चाहिए कि यार एटलीस्ट 2/3 प्रोबेबिलिटी है ऑफ गेटिंग इट राइट एंड डाउन साइड शुड नॉट बी मोर देन 1/3 अभी क्यों 1/3 है वो डोंट आस्क मी रैंडम नंबर है बट आई एम सेइंग कि मेजॉरिटी डाउनसाइड एब्सोल्यूट डाउनसाइड यू कैन नॉट एक्सपेक्ट कि स्टॉक इतना घुस सकता है वो हो सकता है बट यू कैन नॉट एक्सपेक्ट व्हेन यू बाय राइट सो दैट इज द न्यू लर्निंग प्रोबेबिलिटीज में भी यू हैव टू अप्लाई एंड प्रोबेबिलिटीज आर अ लिटिल मोर इफ यू गो डीपर इन टू प्रोबेबिलिटीज राइट यू माइकल मेबोसिन फॉर एग्जाम्पल ही इज एन अमेजिंग आई मीन आई लव लिसनिंग टू हिम एंड रीडिंग व्हाटएवर ही इज रिटन राइट ही टॉक्स अबाउट बेस रेट्स राइट So you think about base rates. So there is a very lovely report, and I love this report. Wo man overboard moment karke dala hai, jahan pe you just look at what has happened whenever a special situations has panned out, and then how stocks move. Right? You, if you do a lot of data crunching, you can do that, and kind of figure out similar situations and see what the market has done, and apply that as like a.
Give me more examples of probabilistic thinking.
ये इतना सारा तो बता दिया।
अभी दो ही बताया यार। So this is a very untouched topic, right? A lot of people really don't talk about or think about it still.
Is it?
This is. I don't know. You tell me because.
Oh, this is the basic rule of investing. कि तुमको पता ही नहीं क्या होने वाला है. Which is why you can't be too confident. So ये जो अभी लोग बोलते हैं ना, you have to be humble. Humbug. You can't be humble. You If you are if you've been there long enough, you know कि तुम तुमको नहीं पता because तुम इतनी बार गलत जा रहे हो and क्यों गलत जा रहे हो because you are predicting the future right which is so unpredictable there which is why you got to think in those terms and then you go to size so why should you not have such a diversified portfolio like 100 stocks you're not thinking you are not betting on higher probability outcomes enough how will you make money otherwise
so how will you beat the market you will select stocks where you have high conviction based on whatever you said about growth return etc
no eventually
and then you will build you will you know the number of stocks that you choose to invest in are have at least 2/3 chance of your whatever your expectation in terms of
aisa number har ek stock mein nahi dale I'm just saying you don't want to I'm just giving you a general sense that you don't want to bet on low probability outcomes point number 1
sure
and you want to reduce your unenforced errors right so if you try to be too greedy and koi bhi stock hai na multibagger nahi hota jab khareedte hain wo baad mein hota hai so the real test of your thesis is tumko agar tumne ek multibagger identify kiya tha jab liya tha to kitna liya So I'm glad that at so the peak we had 11.5% in page.
Yeah. So you put your money up front when you think the probability is high.
Yeah, you size it up. There is this very nice
and do
formula.
And you also average on the way up.
You know, it's very funny. If you analyze my trades, you will find that I'm always selling
always
at a loss.
Block trade 10%, 15%.
Yeah, वो तो अभी हमारे size की वजह से. But I'm saying if you analyze my trades, you will find that I'm always selling at a loss. And I'm always averaging at a higher price. But you will see, this is a totally dumb portfolio manager. If you just use that data.
Because traders cut their losses and...
Ah, you're not a trader.
Yeah.
It'll be SIA
and likely
data.
For an investor, because investor supposed to be convinced about the stock, and if it goes down and the economic value has not deteriorated, you're supposed to double down.
Correct. So why does this happen? Or funds to achhe ki hai. So ye data or fund performance tick tag hai, to kuch to lafda hai, no? I think the point is that we are not traders. So we don't, my churn is extremely low. Right.
Right.
But the thing is that often when the stock falls, more often than not, your thesis has gone wrong. So you got to kind of revisit it and exit at a loss. It doesn't matter that you're losing money. Today's price is your cost. That's the way to think about it. This is very important. A lot of people get hung up ki main loss mein nahi bechunga. Ye to normal common investor mentality hai. But money is fungible. Matlab, as in the color of money is the same. Yes. Wo stock mein nahi paisa banana hai. Galat ja raha hun. Thesis agar galat gaya na, ek baar ke liye nikal jao. Right? So you're selling it. Why am I buying higher? Because when my thesis is going right, I started with the margin of safety, right? My thesis is going even better. So then I want to add more. I'm re-looking at that whole thing and I'm saying, yaar, ye to better hai. Page to humne 650 se khareedna shuru kiya, 1250 mein humne liya tha. I think management ka maal tha wo. Right? So double kyun le liya? Because the thesis was getting so much better. And again, this combination I'm talking about, return on capital employed, growth. So wo return on capital employed jab itna excess hota hai, cost of equity se, usme tumko thoda aur growth milta hai. So uska jo mathematical implication is humongous. So you kind of buy more.
Which is, what have been your worst mistakes and what have you learned from them?
Yeah, bahut sare mistakes though. I can give you a long list of stocks. I talked about some of the stocks that we've lost money. Fortunately,
so for example, you said Manpasand Beverages, sir. Navkar, I think. Navkar Corporation.
Navkar. Aise bahut sare naam hai, honestly, yaar.
So what went wrong?
Because I've been doing small caps all my life. Also small caps. And small caps, mein, you were just hungry for ideas and you want to kind of go look, make that excess return. And you go wrong all the time. I think you go wrong in terms of your... more often than not, you go wrong on the management. Manpasand, for example. Manpasand is a disaster. I think Manpasand is a disaster right now because we held on to it. We held on to it because there was this view that we will be an activist. India mein kaha activist? So we realized our call went wrong. We should have exited. Manpasand, abhi bhi bata raha hun, focus ka attribution karoge to Manpasand is still one of the positive attributors. So in the initial phase, we
make so much money.
Made money. But anyway, that doesn't take away the fact that we got it wrong, right? And there are and you go wrong on the management. It's very, I mean, we do our stuff, but despite that, we go wrong. If somebody asks me, how will you prevent something like a Manpasand? I really don't have a very clear answer. I can tell them ki I will work harder, but that's like a stupid answer. I remember our guys, we went on this trek, Amtapas. Humko wahan pe dikha Manpasand. Second day jahan pe gaye the camp pe, wahan pe uska product dikha. UP mein we had gone on a road trip, wahan ke dukaan mein tha. ऐसा नहीं कि हमको लग रहा था कि वो बट आई थिंक देर वॉज आई थिंक मे बी आई डोंट नो आई विल नेवर वी विल नेवर नो आई थिंक वो कहीं तो समवेयर इन बिटवीन दे जस्ट इट बिकेम लाइक अ सत्यम थिंग वेयर दे वर जस्ट ओवर ग्रोइंग देयर सेल्स दे वर नॉट मेकिंग कैश आई थिंक द प्रोडक्ट वॉज आउट देयर लॉट ऑफ एग्जाम्पल्स यार मतलब दे आर ऑल स्पेसिफिक
कॉमन दे वेर ऑल डिफरेंट काइंड्स ऑफ मिस्टेक्स और यू नो वाज देयर अ कॉमन थ्रेड इन योर मिस्टेक्स इज इट Forensics or is it, what is it?
Forensics is, fortunately we made far less mistakes. In fact, one reason why as a house we've done well is because a lot of these stocks that have fallen, especially abhi 2019-20 mein, right? We haven't been in any of them. So I think one reason our excess returns are better is because we've lost less money. And we've been a little more focused on forensics. Despite that, we go wrong. So, management is one reason. The same variables that I talk about, you kind of get them wrong.
Sure. Okay, now I'm going to just ask you a few quick questions, rapids.
Quick fire.
Just answer in one or two words or one or two sentences, depending on the question. What's your work day like generally?
I go to the gym. Then I kind of check out my portfolios if I have the time. And typically, we have internal meetings. We are meeting companies and very interesting work day.
So it's largely
changes from time to time.
Okay.
But it happens quite often and people are often surprised that 2 baje agar tum mere ko poocho bazaar upar hai niche mere ko nahi pata hota. So I'm not necessary.
You don't look at the stock prices every day.
Not every day.
What do you say?
Huh. So you are also surprised, right? मतलब देख के क्या करूँ यार, वो ऊपर गया तो मतलब कभी कभी घूरते हैं स्क्रीन में, ऐसे लगता है कि घूरेंगे तो और ऊपर जाएगा और बिकॉज चर्न कम है तो व्हाट इज द पॉइंट.
ओके, वन इन्वेस्टमेंट स्टॉलवर्ट यू ट्रूली एडमायर.
आई थिंक देयर आर मेनी बट आई थिंक आई लव दीज नालंदा गाइस, दे वेरी वेरी क्लियर.
एनीबडी ग्लोबल?
I love this guy here, Michael Mabuchin. I think he's amazing in terms of the way he articulates.
Absolutely. If you were not managing your own fund, who would you trust your money with?
I have all my money in my funds. But, and I know very few guys. I don't network. I only know guys who I worked with. And one guy I like a lot is Pankaj. I've worked with him and I think he's good. So I...
Pankaj Tidjiwal at Kotak.
Correct.
And how many hours of work do you put in every day?
हार्ड वर्क इज हाईली ओवर रेटेड. सो द आर्स ऑफ वर्क में मतलब काम भी नहीं कर रहा हूँ, आधा टाइम तो हम लोग टाइम पास करते हैं. वैसा कोई गड्ढा खोदने वाला काम नहीं है. यू स्पेंड मोर टाइम, यू डिग अ बिगर होल. इट्स अ वेरी डिफरेंट बॉल गेम. आई मीन देर इज दिस ग्राइंड. यू नीड टू रीड, यू नीड टू नो व्हाट द अंडरलाइंग कंपनी डज. आई वुडंट कॉल इट हार्ड वर्क. सी इट्स फन, व्हाट वी डू इज फन.
हाउ मेनी ऑफ योर टॉप 5 फ्रेंड्स आर फ्रॉम द इन्वेस्टिंग यूनिवर्स?
नन. मतलब है कोई एक है मेरा लंगोटिया यार, बेस्ट फ्रेंड ही कम है यार, 5 में अभी आई कांट इवन काउंट 5.
ओके, हाउ मच टाइम डू यू स्पेंड रीडिंग?
सी आई वॉच अ लॉट.
एंड व्हाट डू यू रीड?
सो आई हैव दिस कॉन्स्टेंट स्ट्रगल. आई लाइक टू रीड, आई वॉन्ट टू रीड मोर, बट आई ऑल्सो वॉच अ लॉट ऑफ क्रैप. सो अभी मैंने सोचा है कि कुछ टाइम से कि मंडे टू फ्राइडे आई वॉन्ट वॉच नेटफ्लिक्स.
Okay.
I still sometimes break that. I try to find time to read. Whenever I'm traveling, I think it's the easiest. You read, catch up on your reading on the flight. And
what is the last book you read?
The last book, I read Pulak Prasad's book, but
okay, and the
and I'm reading something on there's a Scientific American book about time. I'm reading that right now. Then I just read for a second time Ted Chiang's short stories. I mean, that is like amazing. I'd highly recommend.
Okay.
So I love science fiction. And there's 2 books that this guy has written. It is phenomenal, out of the world.
Stocks you wish you erased from your memory because they lost so much money for you.
Kirloskar Oil Engines. Abhi mere ko aisa, I don't know whether that's the worst.
Okay, but one of the worst.
Haan, because again, that is like a thesis where we were super confident. It was an illiquid stock. And we just kept buying because we weren't worried. Because humko laga ki underlying business is extremely strong. And the cash flow conversion to EBITDA was like 120% or something like that. And they were good guys. I mean, we saw the plant. They were enhancing their product portfolio to compete with Cummins. And there was this agri division. And everything was like, mere ko to laga, matlab, jitna maal milta hai, chhaap lo. Abhi bhi karta hoon bahut saare stock mein. And then they decided to put money into financial services. And that was the end. So we couldn't sell it.
Yeah.
We exited at some 50% lower. Yeah. I think Indostar. So there. So if I keep thinking long enough, I'll give you a very long list.
Okay.
But the fact that funds have done well means we kind of made up for
it. Okay. One investor whose moves you watch. You said Pankaj Tibrewal is the manager you will trust.
I don't watch his moves. I don't watch. I don't even know what he owns.
Who? You know,
that time nahi milta. We don't. We do this as a process. We do a peer analysis every month.
Oh.
Where Sukanya puts out what people are buying and people are selling. But no specific investor that I'm closely watching.
Okay. One superpower that you'd like to have?
Spider-Man. I love Spider-Man here.
Okay.
I want to be... I love the whole Avengers series. I'm totally fascinated by Avengers and all this fantasy superhero movies.
Sure. One mistake that you have not been able to correct, investment mistake.
I wouldn't know, right? So if I had known it, I would have already corrected it.
You repeatedly make the same kind of mistake, ignoring something.
So agar mere ko pata hai, to main nahi karunga. I'm not saying I have my biases.
You recognize your shortcomings and yet not been able to.
Why would you say that?
It's possible.
What stops you from correcting something that you think you should not do?
I have tons of such.
But so why do you not correct them?
Inability. Like, you get blinded in the same situation.
No. So there are biases. But there are biases that I don't
obviously recognize.
So if I recognize a bias, then I'm definitely trying to correct it. So confirmation bias is a huge bias, right? So I'm looking for obviously ideas which counter that confirmation bias. But despite that, am I happy when somebody kind of concurs with me and kind of he also thinks it's the gate? So I do get happy. But then I'm immediately thinking, yaar, opposite argument. So if you know it, then if you don't correct it, then you are a
Fair enough. Then you'll not be the fund manager you are.
No, not even a fund manager, even as a person. If you know for sure that you're doing something wrong, then you shouldn't do it. The reason you do it because you don't realize.
Sure. How much of your success would you rate as skill and how much is luck?
Largely luck. I mean, I'm not being modest or anything. So don't... Largely luck. There is obviously an element of skill, and skill straddles luck as you get better. But somebody who's been around for so long, it's largely luck. And I'm super insecure about it.
Thank you so much, Srinivasan. It was such a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you
so much for taking out the time. That's all from us at the studio at Money Control. Thank you so much.